I think we could all agree that the world doesn't have much wise, godly guidance. If you look at history, which our world seems to neglect now, you will realize that most things keep going round and round. It repeats itself. So if you were to look back 100 years, you could see many of the same issues that we deal with today. But sadly, again, the world does not look back, and it does not take history and make it part of today's understanding. The world lacks this, and it's not a good thing. Wisdom is the knowledge that is gained by having many experiences in life. It's knowledge of what is proper and reasonable, of good sense and judgment. And again, the world is sorely lacking in this. Discernment goes along with that. It's the quality of being able to grasp and comprehend. And we certainly need to look at our world and be able to discern the things that are good that maybe we can draw upon, and then maybe many things that we should not draw upon. So we need wisdom and we need discernment. And this never should be lacking in the Christian. Godly wisdom is attained through God's word, as we build our faith through God's word. Tonight, we're going to look at a section from the book of Proverbs. So if you have your Bibles, you can at least get to the beginning of Proverbs. I think the key verse would most likely be Proverbs 1:7. But before I read that, as I was just sitting, is it all right? I'm going to get off of this for a second here. I was reading Proverbs 1, and I just saw the first six verses, and I thought how appropriate this would be. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, judgment, justice, equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. This is something we need to implore. And then we get to what I consider the key verse for this, Proverbs 1:7, and it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear it's talking about here is the awe of God. I've been a Christian now for some 35 years, and now, after some 35 years, I look more at the birds and the clouds and the insects and the flowers and all those things that I so easily just let aside through most of my life. But as you look at them and see the intricacy of all of it, it's incredible. Our God is awesome. It's so big and so unbelievable. Just look at your own self and you will see this is an incredible miracle. This could not have just happened. It is something that is orchestrated by God. So this kind of fear is the awe of God, although we must be careful because God could allow troubles to get our attention, could he not? Yes, he does, doesn't he? It's the beginning. It's the starting point, it says. It's the starting point of growing with our relationship to God. This knowledge is understanding, truly understanding his word, bringing it into ourselves, comprehending it. You know, there's five wisdom books in our Bible that we can go to grasp much of what God is trying to do in just the idea of godly wisdom. That's Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And Solomon wrote three of those. He wrote the book of Proverbs, so we would gain wisdom. He wrote Ecclesiastes so we would understand folly. And he wrote the Song of Solomon so we could begin to understand love. We get wisdom and instructions from books like the Proverbs. Now, my personal habit for many, many, many years has been to read one proverb a day, coinciding with the calendar. So if it's December 1st, I'm reading Proverbs 1 and so on and so forth. There's 31 of them. And I think it's a good habit, and I would encourage you to think about it. It's fairly quick, but it can give you so much insight into life. And you can just, when you read it, you go, boy, that's going on today. That's exactly what's going on. And that's how foolish the world is being. And this is what I must do to rise above that. So it's a good habit. It's a very interesting book. Proverbs is sayings that state a specific truth pretty straightforwardly. It doesn't really kind of beat around the bush. It's like the book of James. I love that book because, boom, there you go. There it is. You deal with it kind of thing. And I think Proverbs is very much the same thing. It's drawn, most Proverbs are drawn from a long time of experience. I think sometimes age has many benefits. Yes, we creak more. Yes, we're bent over a little more. But we are a little bit more settled in our thinking. And I always think to myself, gee, if I could just have the body of 30 again with what I understand now, I'd be in good shape. I'm sure most of you would agree. It tells me in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask, who gives it to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So all we have to do is ask for it. And yet so many times we don't. So many times we just work off of this thinking without this thinking. There's three kinds of Proverbs. I thought this was very interesting. And I'm going to see if I can say this word without skipping over it. Parallelism. Go ahead, tell me, Karen. What is it? Thank you. Parallelism. It's a good word. One of those little difficult words, but it's a good word. And what it's telling me is that there's three different types of proverbs. There's the synonymous proverb, which says, having the same or nearly the same meaning as another word or phrase, expressing the same thought in a different way. The second clause, or the second line, relates or restates the first. Here's an example. Proverbs 19:29 says, judgments are prepared for the scorner and beatings for the back of fools. You can see it there. Next is contrast. The truth in the first clause is made even stronger in the second clause by contrast. The light of the righteous rejoices while the lamp of the wicked will be put out. Truths, very strong truths, and synthetic ones, which is attributed to a subject, something determined by observation. The second clause develops the first clause or the second line. The wrath of the king is like a roaring lion. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life. He sins against his own life. True. Okay, so Proverbs is uniquely qualified to impart wisdom to the reader. So this is what I'm going to say now. Please turn to Proverbs 3, 1 through 8, and that's where I'm going to really get most of what I'm going to talk to you about. I'm going to read the passage first. I'm going to work on that word. How come everybody else has it? I should have had somebody else up here. Anyway, Proverbs 3, 1 through 8. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands for length of days and long life, and peace they will add to you. Let my not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. I'd like to bring out four points that I think will get us to this wise, godly guidance that we truly need. And I believe in the church it's needed too. I think sometimes we still work on our own thinking above working on what it says in the Word of God. And if anything else you get from this, I want you to understand you're not that smart. I'm not that smart. I need to go to something that is very smart. And it will teach me what I need to understand in order to live the life that I should live. So four points are going to come out. Listening, learning, loving, and leaving. They all start with L. I thought it was clever. Okay, anyway. I could have used many other proverbs to express these points, but I chose Proverbs 3, this wonderful section, and hopefully I'll be able to show you why. The first thing is listening. We need to listen to teachers. We need to listen to parents. We need to listen to our heart. We need to listen to that inner voice that speaks to us. We must have ears to hear and then apply it. Verse 1 says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Son is an heir. Now, this is probably written to a child or a youth from a parent. But I put myself in that, and I think personalizing the Word of God is so very important. It says, dear Paul, see, I'm a son too, and I'm an heir, a co-heir with Christ. You are too. What an incredible thought that is in itself. I could stop there and we could just ponder that. But the point it says is, my son, do not forget my laws. These are not just commands that we're supposed to do, but this is loving response, devotion to the will of God. It's loving response and devotion to the will of God. And it all comes from your heart. It cannot stay up here. It must come into your very being. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart, or the very essence of you, will be also. Luke tells us, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. So we need not only our minds, but our hearts change. We need to take this information. We need to listen carefully and enter it into our heart. What is in the heart comes out. It's that simple. It comes out of us. Deuteronomy 8 tells us, every command which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. That is Old Testament truth of the very same thing. They must follow the commands. We must lovingly do the same. So, my son, do not forget my laws, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Long life, you know, when you read that kind of statement, that's an Old Testament statement. It was kind of a blessing that would come along with the way you walked with God. As you would keep his statutes and his commands, He says that your life would be lengthened. And we know many in the Old Testament that were lengthened. But that doesn't mean that because my life is not lengthened, that I'm not getting the fullness of my life. What I want is abundant life. I want long life to serve, long life to give, long life to learn, long life to be what God would want me to be. So you can take it like that. And peace, what kind of peace? Peace that passes all kinds of understanding. You know, situations come into our lives, and it's not always easy. I know from experience that when I pray and ask God for that peace that passes understanding, He gives it to me. And I know that from experience. If you have not experienced that, pray, and God will give you that peace that passes understanding. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. God gives us a different kind of peace. He gives a calmness of heart and mind, knowing that we can trust and continue to move forward because God is in it. Is my life is already written out by God. I just need to stay on track with it to get the best out of it. That's the key point. So, great peace. Have those who love the law and nothing causes them to stumble. We need to love this. And it's easy for us to say that. And I'm talking about me. I love the Lord. I need to love the Lord. It's not easy. I love Paul a lot too. You know, and I love junk a lot too. I want to love the Lord. I pray about that because I don't think we've reached that probably in a lifetime, but we can get closer all the time. He gives us that ability to draw closer and closer, loving Him. So we have to listen. We have to listen to what is being taught to us, what is being said to us, godly counsel. Elders are good. Oh, I'm kind of an elder, so that's why I did that. It's good. Elders are good. People that have been in the Word of God for 30 years, you should take time to talk to them. It's important. I know we're in America where you get to 30 years old and you know everything, and all of a sudden you get to my age and I'm a dummy. You know, but that's not the truth of it, especially in the Word of God. We need to use that wonderful resource that we have out there of older people who have gone through the experiences of life and help us through it. So we need to keep learning. I have the privilege of doing the discipleship class now for the next 3 weeks, and I have three wonderful guys up there. So it's energetic, and lots of questions. Okay, you know. And so my poor little brain's going, you know, how do I get this down and really get it to them in the strongest possible way? But it's exciting to me because learning, especially learning about the Word of God, is extremely important. It says, let not mercy and truth, this is verse 3, forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. There it is again, your heart. Mercy, compassion, grace, charity, forgiveness, forbearance. Those are wonderful words. They are not always easy for us to obtain. Again, I would challenge you to pray that you would learn to have more mercy in your life. Because it's not always easy. God purposely brings those people in your life that it's hard to show mercy to. He does that because He loves you and wants you to grow. Truth. Truth is truth is truth. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, the life. That's it. End of story. He is the truth. He is the life. You stay in the Word. You get to know Jesus Christ personally. You've got it. I am the way and the truth. And it says, bind, fasten them, tighten them. These words are very important. If I've learned anything over 35 years, is not to rush it through, because each word has something that needs to really be brought tightly into me. Bind it. Fasten it. Hold it together. Secure it in me. Proverbs 6 tells us this: bind them continually upon your heart, tie them around your neck. That is the word of God. And 2 Corinthians says this: clearly you are an epistle. You are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh. That is of the heart. Pastor says it many, many times, 18 inches. It's got to get there. And the way it gets there is for us to absorb, to be good students, to learn constantly. Not that we gather just information, but we gather the ability to actually become more Christ-like. Isn't that the goal? That's the goal, isn't it? It's the goal to become more Christ. We need to be merciful, truthful, binding all of this around us and deeply having it fashioned to us. And when you learn these things, it says you will find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. And although I like the second part, man, I love the first part, high esteem with God. Wow. Approval, favor, goodwill, kindness. God looks upon me with great kindness and love all the time. It's just when I'm more obedient and I'm in His Word, it's easier for Him to distribute it to me. That's the thing. When I'm got a mind filled with all kinds of other things, it's not easy for Him to break through and give me everything that I need. He favors us, period. But I love that it says that I can gain even more favor, approval, and esteem, respect, admiration from God and from man. And I don't know about you, when I go on Tuesday nights, as much as I love just the fellowship and having some food and talking with people about interesting things, it's when somebody will come up to me and we'll talk about Christ and what's happening in their life that my heart just jumps inside, because that's what we need to be doing. I need to hear from you. You need to hear from me. We need to be in the Word. You need to teach me. I need to teach you. That's the way it is. That's the facts of it all. So I want that favor from God and from man too. I want other men, Christian men, to look at me and go, you know, he gives it a shot. He's trying hard. I can see that he loves the Lord and wants to do the right thing. Perfect? No. But that he wants to do the right thing. So then we have to love. If we're listening well and learning well, then we love. And then what I mean by love is we have to love the Lord, the person of Christ. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We have this incredible confidence, belief, faith, certainty, assurance. And what we're reading is the absolute truth. And nothing but the truth. That's why we need to be in it. We must trust God in all circumstances. Now, believe me, I am as human as anybody else, and that's a very difficult thing to do. But I always do it better when I bring back Scripture in my mind like this, or I'm in the Word solidly enough that God can give me a peace that passes understanding. So I can trust, even though it looks good or bad, and I'm hurting, or the situation's not good, I am at peace, and I can trust that God is doing the exact proper thing in my life. See, sometimes we don't believe that. God has chosen me before the beginning of time as a child of God, and He favors me, loves me, and I need to trust that He is going to do nothing but the best for me, even if my outward circumstances don't look that way. It's still the best for me. So, you need to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on who? And that's another one that so many times is very difficult for us because we want to make the decision. We can handle the circumstances. But unless that knowledge is from the Word of God, if it's just simply knowledge, information, we can easily get ourselves all mixed up on what I really should be doing and how I should or should not be doing things. So we can't lean on what I think is right. What Paul's decision on that is, I must bring all things to Christ. And as I bring all things to Christ, He will direct my path. He will direct my path. He will make my path strong. He will make my path profitable, unswerving, less real problems because I'll see everything through the eyes of Christ and I will know that it is exactly what's supposed to be happening to me in life right now. These are not easy concepts. As I look to you, you understand them. You've heard them before. They're all in there. But to draw them out and make them really real in our life takes effort. And the effort that we give out is this. We must stay in the Word. I cannot overemphasize personal reading and devotion with God. And I'm not talking about 15 minutes. I'm not talking about a half hour. I'm talking about really in-depth study of the Word. And that should be transferred over to our children because our children learn a lot of things out there which they get for hours at a pop. And maybe we read with them if we read with them out of the Word for a few minutes or they get 45 minutes here. We need to be inundating them with the Word of God. I call it God talk. The more that I read, the more that I understand this is what I talk about. This is what comes out. It can't help but comes out. Whatever goes in, that's what comes out. If I fill it with, and I'm not trying to get anybody, with all the football scores of this week, or I fill up my brain with all of what's going on in politics, that's what comes out. That's what comes out. We already know that the world is stupid. I mean, so if you read the news and see that people in high places are making stupid decisions, it's not like you should be going, wow. They're doing what they do because they do not have the wisdom of God. That's why God asks us to pray for them. Because the biggest thing that our leaders need is Christ. We need leaders who love God. And that's it. That's the end of it. Absolutely. And if we don't get that, we are going to get exactly what we're getting now, just a different name and a different time. So it's very important for us. So we need to love the Lord our God. Love him with all our heart and mind. And the only way you can get to personally understand Christ in an incredible depth is to be in the Word of God. I don't know if anybody else is into biographies of great religious men from the past. I'm a great Andrew Murray fan. I'm a great Jonathan Edwards fan, Spurgeon, all these guys. I read their stuff, and I feel like a dummy. I see incredible depth. They don't have the tools that I did. Here, I put my little thing together. I wanted to get a passage. I can get a passage over here, and I can put this over here. They didn't have that. When they had a thought come in their mind about a passage that might have been in the Old Testament, this is what they did. Okay, I think I remember what that was. Yeah. That's what they did. Hours of it, just in depth. And that's why the words that came out, like sinners in the hands of an angry God, brought about revival in the 1700s. Power. Well, we have the same opportunity. Maybe we don't speak as eloquently as they do. But the point is I'm trying to get is wise, godly guidance must be an absolute in our heart. It cannot be an option. Because we will not. We will not grow, and we will not have the power that the church should have. So, we must love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. So we need to listen. We need to be learners, disciples. We need to love God as deeply as we possibly can. And the last one is leave, and that sounds kind of funny. But what I mean by that is leave things behind. Deny self. Our flesh just rears right up. It's easy for me to wake up and say, it's not about Karen, it's about Paul. It's easy for me to do that. I have to work at thinking the opposite way, that others are more important than me, because it's easy for me to be in self. Self likes sin. Did you know that? Flesh likes sin. So we must fight it. We must fight it. Again, it says here in verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. And what's that saying? Is not wise with the word of God. Wise in your own eyes. If we listen to the philosophies out there, it's pretty, way out there in different directions. I've talked to people who are supposedly Christians that will give me a little bit of Buddhist, a little bit of, some politics, all mixed in as some sort of Christian understanding of the Word of God. It's all mixed up. We cannot be wise in our own eyes. This is the only wisdom there is. That's it. There's nothing else. You don't read this, you're just going to be maybe just a wise guy. You're not going to be wise. This is what makes us wise. This is what helps us control, helps us to be not wise in our own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. If you are like me again, there's certain things that when I got saved, or if I ask God about, pretty easily go away. But there are some things that are just a grind for me to get rid of in my life. Do you have that? It's a grind. Should we be giving up? No. He tells us to leave those things behind, because if we leave those things behind, we will experience abundant life. That's what God wants for us. That's what Jesus said. Abundant life is what I want to give to you. And that has nothing to do with size your TV is. That has to do with having great wisdom, having great discernment, having great understanding, having great compassion. They sound real familiar. They are Christ. And that's what we need to put in ourselves. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And the health it's talking about is well-being. Well-being. Again, you can intertwine that with the health, rather the peace that we get. It's just an overall healthy feeling, even if you've got aches and pains. It's an overall feeling that, you know, things are pretty good. God does care for me. I know that. I can go through this, even though it's hard to walk today. I can do it because God is there with me. He's giving me health to my flesh. And if you want to take flesh the opposite way again, he's taking you from that evil desire of flesh to healthy flesh, where your flesh is thinking properly. John, or 3 John, says this, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." He wanted the whole being to prosper. And that's what we need, the whole being to prosper. It cannot prosper if we neglect. I know I've said this before. If you want to play guitar, you got to pick it up and you got to work at it. The strings hurt. At first, you sound pretty pathetic, but you work at it. And as you work at it, just one day you go, "Ooh, that's not too bad. That's okay. I like that." Well, it's the exact same thing with the Word of God. You begin to really understand it. I know that we all have intellectual understanding of what God is telling us in the Word of God. But if you're like me, the depth of that inside my soul is not there. It is still out there someplace, not quite what I want it to be. I don't simply make everything flow through the Word of God. I still utilize Paul. I don't let it be everything in my mind. I still let other things happen. The good thing is, after 35 years, I get annoyed with me about it. Praise God. You know what I mean? You do it and you go, "Ooh, that's good. That's a good start." But wouldn't it be wonderful and profitable for people around you, for fellow Christians, for that family member that does not know the Lord, for you to be gleaming with the Word of God? That you don't talk to them about it in a sense of accusation, but it just comes out. The beauty of the day. "Thank you, Lord, for just a great evening. We just had a great evening together." Those words just come out. And people hear it and hear it and hear it. So, we need to listen. We need to learn, continue to learn. Being good disciples is very important. We need to love. And I mean really love the Lord. And the way you love anybody is taking a lot of time with them. My relationship with Karen is extremely close. I'm sort of glued to her. I have to pry myself away. Because she on earth is the one thing that's very, 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 very important to me. And so I'm glued to her. I want to be glued like that to Christ. Glued to him, bound up in him. I'd like to read another wonderful section of Proverbs that cements the idea of the need for wise, godly guidance. Proverbs 4, 20 through 27, if you want to turn there. "My son," again, my son, personal guidance, "give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. From out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. And that's what it's saying again. God will make your path straight, not like this. And this is where we mostly live. And it's hard. I think God so much wants to make it easier for us. Stay here and you'll understand more. Yes, you'll look at the world and understand it's a mess. But you'll be able to pray for them more. You'll be able to stand in the midst of them more and be able to really, really stand out with the truth of God. One last time, wise, godly guidance. Listen. Youth, listen to your parents. Utilize people that have been in the Word a long time. Have an ear that wants to hear, that isn't ready to go to lunch or go home quickly, but wants to hear what is coming to them from God. Be students. Again, as I tell the students up there for the discipleship class, be in the Word of God, not a little bit. I love the brothers that I talk to, and the first thing comes out of their mouth is what's going on in their lives according to what they understand in Scripture. That's the best for me. I love the rest too. It's nice, but that is so very important. Love the Lord. Love the Lord with all of your being. Don't let other things get in the way, even your work. Don't let other things take you over that you cannot get God in there because it's so many other things just pressuring your brain for attention. And then leave the world behind. There's a song that says, but the things of the world grow strangely dim in the light of your love and your grace. And that's what it should do. That doesn't mean you can't enjoy this experience that God is giving to you, but it should not be everything. What needs to be is you and your relationship with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, that Proverbs have that ability to just work inside of us, the things that help us to get stronger and wiser and in more understanding of you. All of this through the Holy Spirit, Lord, is pushing us and pushing us towards becoming more like Christ. Lord, what a blessing that would be if we could do that, become more and more and more like Christ. Lord, I just pray for each person here that you would do that, that they would take away from this not anything that came from my mouth, but the words that came that possibly from you. I hope that the Holy Spirit spoke and not so much Paul, that they would go and say, I need to explore, ponder, understand this more and more in my life, that I might be a mighty person for Jesus Christ. I thank you for this opportunity on my part. And I just thank you that you love us so much. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.